Live from Kakariko Village. Broadcast throughout the Retroverse, transmitted to the real world via a maze of wires connecting the Super Nintendo to a Wii, to a Wi-Fi network, and finally to the Internet. The Techno Funk Boy presents the Retro Zoo Super Show. Here are your hosts, Kai and Steven.
Hey, hey, greetings, everybody. Well, oh, goodness, sorry about the noise. We are, We're at just a really great event here. We are at the grand opening of the Kakariko Village arcade. So, like, yeah, this is apparently, you know, apparently the I mean, I guess the retro gaming fever has really been hitting around here pretty hard, and so we are. Oh, no, sorry, excuse me. Interest got to be big enough that they put an old-fashioned arcade right in the middle of Kakariko Village, and yeah, this is great. It's it looks like, wow, actually this place is a lot bigger than I thought. Wow. So yeah, it really looks like we're like set off into sections here where different periods are represented. This is very cool. So as I'm scanning the room, I'm getting a general layout here, where we're as you kind of look at the arc of the room, starting nearer to the door, is kind of the more recent age. But as you go around the back onto the right and over up into the up to the left. We're seeing some really great old classics from the 80s. Like a lot of just really an impressive collection of arcade games. This is absolutely great. We're walking through now. It's really crowded in here. I had known kind of being around town and living here that, I guess more and more people have been stopping us in the streets and just, at the grocery store or whatever, talking about old classic games. But I really didn't think that there would be this many people interested. And I'm very pleased to see, like, in the really early section, the early 80s section, there's just this massive crowd over there. I was like, I was kind of expecting, some buzz around the really big ones that we know, Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat or Marvel vs. Capcom some of those really great fighting games from later on. But looking over there, and it's like, wow, okay, so I see Ms. Pac-Man and of course Galaga, and that's Wow, that's really actually not where the crowd is. That's really interesting. So we're going to head over there. Excuse me. Hi. Hi. Hi, Kai. It's me, Timmy. It's nice to see you. So you made it. That's great. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't miss this. This is so great. This is very cool. So welcome. I'm glad you came. Hanging out. Have you been here long?
I've been here for a little bit. I've gotten to play some games. Are you recording? Are you recording for the radio show?
Yeah.
Well, can I say hello?
Well, yeah. I mean, Timmy, you're on now.
Hi, everyone. Hi. This is really cool. So, like, this is like in a brand new store in downtown Kakariko. Look,
Timmy, we've already been through all of that.
Did he already say that it's an arcade?
Yeah, I already said that.
Okay. Well, I didn't know. I haven't listened yet because it hasn't been up.
Well, of course you have.
Timmy, this is my job. Yeah, I understand that it's your job, but you know we're gonna take a tour around. So, I was playing some very exciting pinball machines. I really like those, and I was playing actually Adam's Family pinball, which is just a really great game. And
oh yeah, I love that game.
It's good. That's already said.
Timmy, this is my show.
I know it's your show, Kai. I know. But, you know, like, Steven's not here, and so you need a sidekick. And so I thought I'd be your sidekick through the arcade. Is Drum here?
He's up front. He got distracted by one of those little claw grabby games.
Oh, yeah, those are great.
Those just complete rip-offs, but it's fine. Last time I saw him, he had, actually weaseled his own claw back into the back there, and I think he was getting a Buzz Lightyear or something.
Oh, I love Buzz.
That's great. That's fantastic. Okay, I mean, let's getting back to the point. We're at this arcade, and it's really cool.
Yeah, so I was playing Adam's Family pinball.
Yeah, you mentioned it.
Okay, well, but I decided to go around because it's got I didn't think that this was going to be this expansive of a collection.
Yeah, I honestly didn't either. It's really quite impressive. Can I give the mic back?
Look, Timmy, just wait. Okay, so as I was saying, we're coming through, great. Oh, these are cool.
I think you said it was Coca-Cola. Even the glasses are themed. This is really neat. This is a Pac-Man glass, and so it's got, you know, all the little maze all the way around. It's very neat.
Oh, that's really neat. Yeah, mine was a Donkey Kong one.
That's very cool. So like the decor is really really neat. It's all the walls are painted with murals of the really classic games of Pac-Man. I see some designs kind of in the back that clearly from Asteroids. Some Donkey Kong stuff. The background is all black, but you've got these scenes from these games that are very very cool. And there was even a life size painting of Scorpion from Mortal Kombat. Up near that section of the games, each section is really has their designs, you know, based on that time period. So this is very neat. This is really really well done. From
Hey, you know, I didn't even notice that. Timmy, did you notice that? Oh yeah, the jousting ostrich. Yeah, there's a rather large, you know, like a some kind of model of the jousting ostrich with the knight on the top, hanging from the ceiling over in the corner. That I almost didn't see it in the dark over there. That crowd in that section is just so big. I mean, Timmy, did you expect that, like, that classic section would get that much attention? No, I thought that was kind of weird. Maybe they got air hockey over there. Well, air hockey is fun, but I don't know. Let's go check it out. Okay. All right, so we're gonna head over there. So it's getting really crowded. It's all right. So everybody's kind of crowded around this same cabinet. It's what is this? Okay, I'm coming. I'm kind of at the side of it, and there's nothing. There's no artwork on the side. It's kind of plain black. It's this is kind of interesting. Yeah, that's weird, huh? Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. No. Look, I'm not trying to cut. Hold on. I'm not trying to cut. Everybody around here is just. It really okay. It just seems like everybody's on edge over here. This is kind of strange. All right. We're coming around the. Coming around the front. It's really hard to get close to. The crowd here is very, very thick. I'm trying to get a good look. Timmy, can you see anything? Polybius. I think that's Polybius. They've got Polybius here.
What's Polybius?
It's kind of a really rare game. I thought that it didn't even really exist. Hold on. I see somebody I know.
Hey, Stefan. Hey.
What is it?
Stefan, let me.
No, there's no cutting. There's no cutting. Okay. That's not fair for us. You need to just stay in.
All right. I'm sorry.
I'll stay in line. Hold on. Hold on. We're gonna stay in line here. I got close enough to see the actual game. I didn't get a great look at it, but there's, you know, this like a line of quarters of people who have saved their space, in line for the game. Everybody's just really kind of just glued onto this thing. It's this, Timmy,
hold on, I'm watching the game.
Can you see it?
Hold on, I'm watching the game.
We're recording here.
Kai, I asked you to hold on. Just hold on for a minute. I'm watching the game. This is important.
Okay. I'm really starting to get kind of an uneasy feeling about all of this. I gotta tell you, the people around here are just. Okay, hold on. I'm gonna turn. Okay, the people around there are just acting really weird. I'm sorry, sir. Hold on, I'm calling.
How long have they been? Have they been over there? Around Polybius. I guess since we opened, I'm really not sure.
Okay, well, how long ago did you open?
I don't know, about
8 hours or so. And I mean, so it's like, this has been different crowds? No, it's been kind of weird. It's just been the same people. They just keep getting more quarters. Really? Wow. Okay, well, thanks. Yeah, thank you. I'm really not sure. I'm gonna try to get a closer look. Hold on. I'm trying to get closer. I haven't even gotten a sense of what kind of game this is. But I mean, it's just like, you know, the people around it are. They're waiting. It's not like they're just standing like zombies. Or anything, but I don't know, it's tough to explain. It's just like this feeling of unease there. Hey, fellas, are y'all okay? Maybe we should try a different game. Okay, now they're all looking at me. Or not. This game seems fine. They're turning back now. Turning back. And, is that a, okay, everybody hold back. There's somebody on the ground. There's somebody on the ground in front of this. Hey, everybody, move aside. Watch it. Just hold, move aside. There's somebody seems hurt. Hold on. Oh my goodness. There's somebody just fell down. No, and nobody's... Timmy, I need your help. Hold... Timmy, I'm trying to watch the game, Kai. Timmy, hold this microphone. Okay, I'm trying to watch the game. Timmy, hold the microphone. Okay, Can y'all please move? We've got this person. We need... Can somebody help me, please? Can somebody help me? Oh, my... Can y'all please just get... They're not moving. Okay, forget it. Hold up. I gotta take drastic now. Okay, so I unplugged the game. Hey, everyone, y'all can plug it back in a minute, but you gotta move out of the way. This person here is hurt. We need to get some help for him. Hold up. What are you doing? No, get off. No, stay off me. Hold on. What are you doing? I'm holding a hurt person. It's like the light has gone out of their eyes. I don't know. They're coming after me. They're moving forward. They're moving forward. Hold on. All right. I'm gonna climb on top of the. All right. I've gotten on top of the arcade. All right. Stay back. I got the hurt child. I don't know what's wrong with him. Can y'all help me? We need a doctor. Is anybody here a doctor? Actually, I probably could use it. So there's some guys from the front door. They're coming. They're two gentlemen. They're wearing very nice black suits and black ties with sunglasses on. Okay, yeah, right over here. We need help. All right, I'm gonna jump to a break, and while these men in black help me out, and we'll be right back with the Retro Zoo Super Show. Hey, it's Kai here. We recently finished our latest EP, Quest of the Dragon Warrior. It's an electronic tribute to Dragon Warrior and the amazing music that game gave us. We're really excited about how this music came out, and we want you to have it for free. If you go to technofunkboy.com/Dragon Warrior and sign up for our weekly newsletter, you'll get the songs to download and keep for free forever. That's technofunkboy.com/Dragon Warrior, or check the show notes for a link. And we are back. So we're back in the studio. Thank you so much for joining us at our little road trip out to the brand new Kakariko Village Arcade. That was a lot of fun. Those very nice gentlemen in the black suits helped out a lot. I'm a little bit hazy as to what exactly happened there. I think they helped with something. They were really nice, and thought it might be a good idea for me to continue the show back in the studio. I thought at the time it was a good idea. I'm not sure why again, but here I am, and so do hope that you enjoy that. In all seriousness, we really do thank Sirenscape for providing the great atmosphere. The background atmosphere to that, and a little bit of the music, as well as we actually borrowed our own soundtrack from Dice and Dreary podcast, for some of the music in there as well. But do check out Sirenscape.com. Especially if you are into tabletop role playing, tabletop gaming of all sorts, we started using this in the Star Wars game, and we've been using it in Dice and Dreary as well. And it's just been, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot, it's a really neat thing to use. And so, appreciate providing of that. But let's actually talk about this game Polybius. If this is one of the truly great urban legends of gaming, and we can go on the record now that almost certainly there's no such game, or there was no such game. Other games have since borrowed the name in tribute to that original, but as far as the 1981 arcade game, this was not a thing that happened. But it did become one of the really great early urban legends in gaming, and one that kind of harkens back to the very, very early days of gaming. And so let's jump back to the beginning. What is this thing? So as I mentioned, the year is 1981. And this is really when the local arcades are just absolutely buzzing with activity, and there's all sorts of kind of craziness starting to happen with gaming. People trying to get high scores and trying to get noticed for their gaming ability. And we're starting to get personalities in gaming. People beyond just the local arcade that always seem to have the high score, but we're getting the emergence of the first well-known gamers. And there was this story coming out of the Portland, Oregon area in 1981 that this game just shows up, and it's called Polybius. Now, a little bit of background. Polybius was a great Greek historian about 200 BC. And he wrote this massive history called The Histories, which, you know, is, I don't know, you know, it's like if you do something and you just name it the, and then whatever genre it is, like, no, this is The Histories. This is, you know, this isn't a history book. This is The Histories. You know, that's pretty ambitious. And, Polybius was actually, I kind of came through on this, because this thing is just massive 40 volume work. And so it became, you know, really well known historically because of this. He also had, created what is called the Polybius Square, which is a ciphering tool. And it's the square with the letters arranged in rows and columns, and the rows and columns are numbered. And so with two numbers, you can figure out what letter is being referred to. And so this is, you know, this was something that can be used to transmit messages by sound. You know, by sight, using flags or something like that. And so you don't have to have the entire alphabet. You just have to have a few numbers to go off of. Kind of an early version of Morse code. And besides that, he has a really awesome name, which, you know, doesn't sound like a historian's name. It sounds like a great, like, you know, space shooter in video game terms. And I think that's kind of why this name, you know, really, really works for the legend. But this game appears in Portland, and it's to my understanding is just, you know, it's extremely hard to find and all, but it was very, very popular. Almost unnaturally addicting. And then as people played it more, there starting to have some ill side effects to it. Of people fainting. Like nausea and headaches and nightmares and this sort of thing. I've seen reference to one telling of the story that, you know, people disappeared or committed suicide. But it seems like most of the tellings of this legend are dealing with just these kind of psychological side effects of playing this game that it is addicting, but it also is really kind of messing with your well-being. Now, the weird thing, as if the story isn't already getting a little weird, is that at night, men in black would show up, and they would pull the high scores off of this game. Which led, you know, a lot of people to kind of wonder at, first of all, who made this game and what its real purpose was. So was this a way for the government to figure out, you know, how to manipulate people's emotional state or physical state through video games? Were they trying to, identify people who were really exceptional at certain skills that might be used in a military aspect? You know, this is the kind of idea that was being played with movies like The Last Starfighter, which is one of my favorite 80s flicks, but it's about this just small town guy who just, they like at the corner store has this video game, and he just, you know, every day after doing all of the stuff he needs to do, he plays this video game, and he gets
the high score. And once he does, an alien ship comes down and they reveal that this alien race has put this game in place, and it's like modeled after their own fighters. How the systems are set up on their own fighters to basically, you know, figure out who might be a really good pilot, but also to train them in piloting. And so, you know, very naturally, this kid gets, taken up into space, and where he fights an intergalactic war. And it's a great film. More and more recently, you know, Ernest Cline's novel Armada, which I actually just finished. That was a slog. I'm not even going to lie to y'all. That was not the best book ever. But it's still playing with this idea, and actually brings up Polybius in the book very briefly. It more focuses on a fictional, well, I say fictional game. It's not like Polybius. This is a fictional game. A fictional game from the 80s, but also a new fictional game that's training people. And that's kind of where the government is getting their information in that particular book. These are kind of questions that are popping up about this game. And then not very long after it appeared, it was gone overnight. And, you know, it seemed to be that those same men in black who were coming to check the logs every night just took it away. And so since then, people have been on the search for this game, and no one has ever been able to find it. Since 1981, and that's not really kind of totally true. It was much more recent that this legend really started taking hold. It was in 06 that someone the CoinOp forums, which is a website, is the first group that mentioned Polybius on the internet, as far as people have been able to find it. But they didn't have any information on it at all. It was just, hey, this was a thing. It had some, you know, it was a game, but we don't really know anything about it. And that kind of sparked up this speculation. And in 06, a man named Stephen Roach posted on that forum for this game with this really detailed story about how he had this company that was called Sinislauschen. I'm Yalrick, I'm sorry about that. But he, with this company, had created this game. But it didn't have any of the sinister motives that people attributed to it. It just didn't do very well, and so they took it away. Sinislauschen, it should be noted, is kind of a made up hybrid German word that roughly translates into sensory deprivation. And so that kind of adds just to the mystique of this. It's one of those things. It's like, you know, like the term Polybius by itself, which has an air of mystery to it, you know, because of the Polybius squares. It's like there seems to be just some sort of connection there, but that connection is just so fleeting, and it's nothing you can hold on to. There's nothing about the game that, or what we know about the game that really gives us enough to go off of it. But it's just those terms that are being connected to it that's just mysterious enough that that adds some credibility to it. And it's the same thing with this German term, you know, that, you know, once it gets translated, it's like that there seems to be something there. And there's probably not, but it's one of those things that seems like it, which is one of the reasons that this legend has had the traction that it did. Now there does seem to be some actual events around this time that kind of lend itself to the legend itself. For example, there was a boy, 12 years old at the time, who was in Portland, who was trying to get a world record in asteroids, and was for the longest time, and had been there 28 hours straight, and he finally just kind of passed out, and so this made him, you know, minor. And so right about the same time, we have Jeff Daly who dies of a heart attack. And just around the same period of time, we actually have two gamers who die of heart attacks, playing a different game. I know the first one was playing Berserk. I don't know about the second, but in both cases, these are unrelated to the game itself. These were, you know, diagnosed earlier, but we have right in this time period, you know, these events that of people at arcades just, you know, kind of falling over at the machines. When you have grown up reading about these accounts and then somebody talks about Polybius, that, you know, that sparks that memory. Oh yeah. And maybe you don't remember that it was asteroids or Berserk. But it's like, yeah, I read something about the, you know, that some kid collapsed at a video game, and that lends credibility to it. What about the Men in Black thing? You know, that seems so random, but it's really not, because at the time these arcades were suspected as being kind of gambling dens after hours. You know, like during the day, all the kids play their arcades, and then at night, you know, they open it up as a speakeasy, for gambling. And this is not that crazy. I mean, arcades in the early 80s were not known as good, wholesome places to be. You know, it was really kind of seen as a place of unsavory characters and of crime. This was not where the average middle class religious family took their kids for fun. I remember growing up in the 80s and the nearest arcade to us was just like the door of it was just like billowing cigarette smoke. And I like to watch arcades in the tiny arcade room at like the bowling alley and stuff like that. But like the actual arcade, I wasn't allowed to go there. That was not seen as some place for young kids. And so this isn't far-fetched in the just general zeitgeist, right? This is kind of what people thought happened at arcades, whether it did or not. And I'm sure in some places it did, in other places they didn't. But this was suspected. And so there would be like FBI raids of arcades after hours. And so, like, legitimately, people would see the feds going into arcades after hours doing who knows what. And so this just all just kind of feeds into the legend. So Polybius just because, you know, kind of,
gets this name as one of these great urban legends. And, you know, and to this day, it gets brought up. I mean, it has appeared on The Simpsons before. Angry Video Game Nerd just did an epic episode of Polybius, it's really just exceedingly well done episode, where he finds the Polybius game and he plays it and it does not go well for him. Not to spoil anything. And as always with AVGN, you know, there is a language warning there, but it is a pretty great video if you are so inclined. Then there's been more recent video games named after Polybius. And in some cases, you know, they've tried to like get like an old fashioned, like Atari feel to them. So we've gone through kind of everything else. So what about the name? I've seen a lot of articles speculating that it was it is kind of like a mix up of perhaps the game Polyplay, which actually had several different games in it. And so like the speculation is, well, you know, the people who describe Polybius don't ever get like the details of the gameplay right. And so that actually kind of fits in with Polyplay quite a bit, because Polyplay was a collection of 8 different games on the same machine. At the same time, or not too long afterwards, you start getting games like Gradius, who, you know, take IUS ending, that, you know, kind of Roman Empire-ish ending, and attach it to the game itself. And Polybius Polybius just sounds like a game that should have been made. It really has one of those names that really kind of inspire a reaction. You know, and so I don't know. What it really seems to be is just a collection of memories and stories from early 80s gaming that just kind of get combined and mixed up with speculation thrown in, and you know, just an added coat of mystery to it. All combining to make just kind of a perfect storm of an urban legend. And thus we get, you know, probably the most famous arcade game that never actually existed. I wanted to mention one other thing regarding this, not dealing with video games, but just the idea that works of art could have these sort of like just almost immediate detrimental effects. I happen to have started reading a 19th century collection of stories called The King in Yellow. So this book came out in 1895, and it's written by Robert W. Chambers, and it was a huge influence on H.P. Lovecraft, and I think that's a lot of the reason why there's so much interest in this particular book. But in the book, there's a play that's called The King in Yellow, and this play just very quickly gets banned from all these countries because there's like just this obvious negative psychological effect that it has on people. And one thing that I really find interesting is that no one can actually put their finger on exactly what it is that messes with people's minds. But the result is clear as to what's happening. And Polybius is kind of a modern retelling of that. Because in these stories, the gameplay is normal. You know, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter what game is being described, because that does vary in people's memories and in people's tellings of the story. But it's never some crazy tripped out thing. It's always that it just feels like a normal game, but there's something subliminal going on there that is. You know, harming people, and that's the idea behind this fictional play, The King in Yellow, is that you can't really put your finger on what it is that's doing it. You know, the play itself is not all of that, all, you know, just shocking and weird and off the wall. But it's something in there. And when you're seeing people's reactions, it becomes very quickly clear to you what's going on, even if you can't explain it. And I really like that concept. And I love how the Polybius legend kind of keeps that sort of tradition alive. That these games, even these just, you know, horribly pixelated 1981 games, that just kind of have, you know, square blobs on the screen that are supposed to represent stuff, can have even an unintended consequence on people. That's not all that far-fetched. Because we see in the news all the time, or, you know, people warning us that that playing video games are going to make us violent or rotting our brains or something like that. And certainly we do think that these things are good in moderation. But even though, you know, like Polybius itself is an urban legend, you still have that same sort of legend floating around in more mundane ways. No, it doesn't have the Men in Black in it. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't have people literally falling out in arcades. But it does have a corruption of our emotional state. And these stories are still being told, and they're taken quite seriously. I think things like The King in Yellow, and I think Polybius itself kind of takes those fears and amps them up to 11 to the point where, you know, you perhaps aren't even sure if they're real or not. But there's something unsettling about it. I really like playing with that idea. Now, at the end of the day, there's no Polybius. There is no King in Yellow. And playing video games in moderation will not make you violent. These things video games are wonderful things that we are able to use for our enjoyment, for our leisure time. And I'm very thankful for that. And I'm very thankful that, you know, if I do walk into an arcade, I am not going to fall victim to some government plot to either cause me to go insane or turn me into a drone pilot to wage war against an alien race. Or at least not that we know of. Really appreciate you listening today. It was a lot of fun tackling one of my favorite early gaming stories. So we will be back next week. In the meantime, we are, if you've been following us, you know that we've been uploading once a month, or at least trying to get as close to that as possible, a remixed, re-recorded song, reimagined song from Mega Man 3 to our Patreon page for patrons at any level. It's patreon.com/technofunkboy. We are getting very, very, very close to releasing the soundtrack to the, I guess, the or at least volume one of our Dice and Dreary podcast soundtrack, the music that we've written and recorded for Dice and Dreary. And so I'll tell you all more about that as we come to it. But in the meantime, we really do appreciate you listening, and we hope to catch you next week. Have a good one.
Show is brought to you by the Techno Punk Boy. Follow us on Twitter at Techno Punk Boy, on Facebook at the Techno Punk Boy, and sign up for our email list at technopunkboy.com. Also look for us on Spotify, iTunes, and Amazon for music. If you are so inclined, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast catcher. If you are not so inclined, you are obviously some sort of villain trying to conquer the world. Unowned music and gameplay clips are used for educational and critical purposes. Thank you for listening. Keep gaming. Unless you have responsibilities that need to be done at this time, then you can game later.